Father God, we praise you in the name of Jesus. We want to lift you up and exalt you as our Lord and our Savior, our God. Father, you're so awesome in all that you've done and are continuing to do in our lives, Lord. You don't leave us on a shelf. You don't forget about us. You're always with us, always helping, always guiding and leading and showing and revealing and correcting and all the things that you do, Father, to keep us in the right path. And we're so grateful for that. Father, I pray this morning that you take us, just as this title says, deeper yet, Father, to go in a little bit closer with you than we've been, Father, that we have a greater understanding of who you are, you're working in our lives, and we learn to recognize and to see more spiritually in that understanding that you have given unto us to be able to understand you, that we will connect with you in that very real way, Father. We praise you for these things. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So when it comes to the Holy Spirit, I think that we've all at some point, as a Christian believer, we've all experienced the Holy Spirit in some way. Okay. Sometimes we're not always paying attention. Sometimes we're not always acknowledging maybe when he's speaking to us or doing something in our life. But I think he's really reached out to us and spends time being active in our daily lives all the time. I know as a Christian, I'm constantly trying to be more aware of his activity in my life so that I can give him the credit for it instead of thinking something was just a coincidence, that I actually acknowledge that, whoa, the Holy Spirit just moved in my life. God just did something pretty awesome in my life. I want to be able to give him that credit. And so even this last week, I told you I'd tell you a little bit about my Dallas trip, and I had an experience even as we were just getting started. Kind of the craziness of it all was that my boss wanted to drive from Rollins to Dallas. And decided, let's leave at midnight, drive all night, and then we'll get there. We had planned. She hoped to get there in mid-afternoon at some point on Friday. And so Thursday at midnight, we left. She picked me up at the house, her and her daughter, and then we were going to stop in Cheyenne and pick up another guy named Shane. He's a good friend of mine. We spent, used to work together in a previous job, and now we work together in work in real estate, and we actually went to real estate school together. We bunked together for 10 days. I mean, we got to know each other. I love this guy. He's a young kid. He's about 25. Great kid. So we get to Shane's house, 2 o'clock in the morning, and park out front, go up, knock on the door. Nothing. No lights, no nothing. He's supposed to be up and ready at 2, right? So we're knocking on the door, ringing the doorbell. You know, 10, 15, 20 minutes goes by, and, you know, they start talking, saying, we might just have to leave him. And finally, my boss says, you know, why don't we just go run to a gas station, use the bathroom, and we'll come back, try one more time. And if he doesn't answer, we're gonna just have to leave him. You know, he must have decided not to go. He must be out of town, whatever. And so we decided we'd do that. So we went to the gas station. Well, we get in there, and I'm washing my hands and, you know, kind of get alone for just a few minutes where I can pray. And I really started talking to God, and I said, Father God, I don't even want to go if Shane doesn't go. I mean, he's my buddy on this trip. We were going to hang out and spend time together. I just really, really want him to go. And I said, Father God, I know that you sent an angel into the prison and bumped Peter in the arm, woke him up, shook him to wake him up. And so I pray, send your Holy Spirit, send your angels in to wake Shane up, startle him awake. And I just left it at that. And we got back in the pickup. We went back to Shane's house. It was about a mile away. So we drove back to his house, pulled in the driveway, and the boss gets out, goes up, knocking on the door, ringing the doorbell, and there's still nothing. No lights, no nothing. And I'm just sitting there thinking, I literally just looked up and said, it's out of my hands. I put it in yours, and I'm trusting in you. And right then, the light comes on in the house. My boss came back to the truck and says, we'll give him 2 minutes and then we're going to have to go. And right then a light comes on in that house. And so Shane woke up and came to the door and it was all fine. We got him loaded up. He ran out to the truck in his socks and pajamas and it was funny. But we got all loaded up, get on the road. And then the next day we get to talking about this. And, my boss says, what was it that woke you up? Was it my knocking on the door, ringing the doorbell, the lights of the truck outside? And he goes, no, it was the funniest thing. I just woke up and I knew that it was time to go. And it was at a time when nobody was knocking, nobody was pounding on the door or ringing the doorbell. And all of a sudden he got startled awake and says, it's time to go. And he just jumped up, looks out the window, and here's a truck sitting in his driveway with the lights on. And he said, oh, it's time to go. So I give God all the credit. I mean, give him the glory for that. I mean, obviously, to me, that was exactly what happened, was the Holy Spirit sent an angel in, bumped him in the shoulder and said, hey, buddy, get up. It's time to go. So I knew who had intervened on my behalf, and I literally testified then to the rest of the group and said, let me tell you what startled you awake. Let me tell you who just woke you up. And I testified to this other group, and they're like, praise God, you know, that's awesome. And we had a great time with that. So the Holy Spirit was there and active in my life. He has been active from the beginning of the creation, the foundation of the world, from then on. I mean, God has been keeping him active. He's been doing things in our lives ever since. Genesis 1:1, I quote the scripture a lot, talking about the Holy Spirit. But in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We know that. And it says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit, capital S, the big holy, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Okay, the Holy Spirit was there, hovering in the right place at the right time. So as soon as God said, let there be light, light began. Okay, when he says, let there be trees and let there be this, the Holy Spirit is right there at the right place at the right time, waiting to carry out that order of God, whatever it was that God wanted to do. So God spoke, and his Holy Spirit was right there, hovering at the right place at the right time to accomplish the perfect will and ways of God, the Word of God. So when God said in Isaiah 55:11, he said, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, but it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please and prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. This is how that happens. God is speaking it out, and Holy Spirit is there saying, let's make this happen. Let's put this in motion. Let's get it done. Okay, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit is this team that is working together in absolute unison to accomplish the will of God. We know that God was there because it says, in the beginning, God. Right? Okay, so we know that God was there, and we just read how the Holy Spirit was there, hovering over the waters, waiting to be put into use, and the Word made flesh, or Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was also there from the very beginning as well. That's part of the Trinity. That's how we know that they were all put together. Okay, John 1:1, a lot of you know this scripture as well. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. With God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything that was made. Jump down to verse 14. It says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Okay, so God speaks the Word. The Holy Spirit was right there waiting to receive it and to fulfill it. And now we have access to that same Holy Spirit and the things of God because we were born of the Spirit. Okay, we're able to connect with the Holy Spirit now because we are born of the Spirit ourselves. So we have received Him, and now we have this ability of God to connect with Him in our lives. And yet His importance in the life of the believer, the Holy Spirit's importance in the life of the believer is often diminished. Okay, it's often neglected. We forget about Him. He's kind of that third part. Yeah, God. Yeah, Jesus. Holy Spirit is a little bit different, and sometimes He gets neglected or kind of brushed off. It seems like I call them the wicked imaginations. King James calls it that too. But the wicked imaginations in the heart of man has actually taken this beautiful part of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, the spiritual aspect of it, and sort of tainted it and made it out to be kind of spooky and scary kind of stuff. I know as a young person growing up, I was much more aware of the demonic spirits and the evil stuff that was out there than I was of the Holy Spirit and Him. And I think movie makers did a great job of that. They're still doing it today. Boy, you ever flip through, that's pretty scary stuff sometimes that's out there. But I think they did a great job, and they still do, of playing on the fear of man and being able to put that into video or into print and those kind of things. We went to the public library. We stopped there the other day in Saratoga, and I was waiting for the boys, you know, and they're looking at different things. And so I kind of scrolled through the new books that are out. I like to write, and so I wanted to see what was there. And I'll bet you 2/3 of the titles had something to do with death, blood, gore, just stuff that was not appealing to me at all. I'm like, ah, I don't want that. But in the covers on them, it was pretty scary stuff. And so you think of that today, that it's still, people are still feeding on the fear of man and that kind of the demonic realm and the spiritual stuff that goes on. Okay, well, the movies and things that came out did a great job of revealing how people could connect with the demonic spiritual realm. You could sort of conjure up spirits and be able to have communication with them, okay, conversation with them. And by, I don't know, if, hopefully you guys never saw this stuff, but movies like Poltergeist, okay, or The Exorcist, okay, they were pretty scary stuff back then, but they were horror movies that kind of opened up people's minds to the very real forces of evil that are out there, the forces of evil, the darkness that exists. We read a scripture a couple weeks ago in Ephesians that says that we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. And so, you know, there is that realm out there, and it's very real and active. Okay, but unfortunately, it's not too often outside of maybe a church service or a worship service that you're going to hear about the very real and powerful presence of the Holy Spirit being elaborated on, okay? Maybe sometime in your circle of friends, in your Bible studies and different things, we do be able to fellowship and talk about the real power of God, the force of the Holy Spirit and what He has available. He has empowered us for witnessing. He has empowered us for some of the miraculous, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, those things kind of coming through. But Jesus made it a powerful point when He talked about the Holy Spirit and said He's not to be neglected, okay, not to be brushed off in the life of the believer. He said literally that of all the sins that you can or will or have or could commit, there was only one that was detrimental enough to actually sever your relationship with God. Okay, and that would be the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. And that's why I say that. It was something that He said pretty straightforward in Matthew chapter 12, verse 30. He says, "He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world nor neither in the world to come." That's pretty strong language. And this is coming. He's saying, you can blaspheme and say negative things about me, but don't do it about holy, because that's big stuff. That's unpardonable. That's something that is going to be awful hard to come back from. To blaspheme the Holy Spirit is simply to deny, okay, or to refuse to accept, okay, the forgiveness and the pardon of sins. You know, how are we made right with God? It's not from going out and doing a bunch of good works and being a good person. It's from receiving the forgiveness of our sins. So to deny the Holy Spirit is to deny that pardon, to deny the forgiveness that is being offered to you, okay. So to resist and to deny the Holy Spirit is considered a denial of who God is and what He has done for you on your behalf. And Jesus points to the Holy Spirit saying, you know, you can say some negative things about me. And I'm not saying we don't believe on Jesus for salvation. Don't get me wrong. But he's pointing at the Holy Spirit saying, don't ever do it to Him. Okay? Because people may have said things. How many of you guys, I don't even have to raise your hand. I'll raise mine. How many people ever denied Jesus before receiving Him? I did at some point. People want to share the gospel with me. And I said, what do I need that for? Look at my life, man. I was all, you know, had all these great things going. And I said, I don't need that Jesus stuff. That's for those Jesus freaks. Get out of here, you know, whatever. And the kid didn't quit. He gave me more tracks. He gave me more CDs. He kept witnessing in my life. And I contribute that to me coming to the Lord not too long after that. But that same kind of stuff, I think, is here's Jesus pointing to the Holy Spirit. You can say negative things about me, but don't ever deny the holy power, the Holy Spirit of God, okay? And denying what He has done for you. To push away the Holy Spirit and His working in your life is to deny and push away one of the inseparable parts of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit Trinity. Okay, they're all together. It's one Trinity, right? It's one, three in one. So to deny the Holy Spirit is strong enough, serious enough, that you're denying a part of that inseparable Trinity. You're denying the power of God. Okay? It's to refuse the workings of the Holy Spirit is literally, if you look up the definition, it's a form of atheism. Okay? That I don't believe in God stuff. Right? That's that. It's a form of that, just to deny the Holy Spirit in particular. To deny Him or deny His existence and to refuse to accept Him in your life is unpardonable. Believing in the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit is the core of your Christian faith. That's how we are saved, by faith in Him. And it's absolutely necessary for our eternal salvation. So hearing those sorts of definitions of what blasphemy is, kind of the explanations of blasphemy, it sounds like, I don't know about you, but I want to be as far away from that as possible. I want to be on the other end of the spectrum where that blasphemous stuff or denying of the Holy Spirit has nothing to do with my life. The actual antonym for blasphemy, if you look it up, the antonym or the opposite of blasphemy is, quote, to reverence or to respect. Okay, that means you give due respect unto the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus was doing, exactly that, saying, you know, you say negative things about Son of Man, that's one thing, but to say it about the Holy Spirit, that's a completely different thing. He was honoring, giving reverence and respect Himself to the Holy Spirit. One description I read of the one word definition for the opposite of blasphemy was using the one word love, okay, being the opposite of blasphemy. Love is the opposite of blasphemy. Love is the opposite of denial and refusal. Love is the epitome of reverence and respect. Rather than to blaspheme the Holy Spirit, we are to love the Holy Spirit. We want to pursue Him. We want to acknowledge Him. We want to desire Him in our lives. And even get to that point where we love the Holy Spirit, that we just enjoy His company, that we'd rather spend time with Him than with the ways of the world. I'd rather spend time with the Holy Spirit any day. If you've ever had those moments, and hopefully you have, if you haven't, hopefully you will, where we just spend that time in His presence and soaking in the Holy Spirit, just allowing Him to minister and to have His way. There's so much change and life change that happens in those moments with Him. Okay? Now we've learned over the last few weeks about the Holy Spirit and how awesome He is. Okay, and how great He has, greatness He has given unto us. He is absolutely powerful. He is absolutely in tune with the will and the ways of God. He intercedes for us. We read that scripture earlier. He intercedes for us on the according to the will of God. Okay, we know that the gifts and the fruits of the Holy Spirit are only possible when He is allowed to work through our life. Okay, if we're refusing and saying, I don't want the Holy Spirit, that's okay. The things that are coming through our life is not a gift then of the Holy Spirit. It's a product of our own flesh, something that we came up with. But when we trust in Him, we begin to, if you remember a few weeks ago, we talked about picking your feet up off the bottom of the river and going with the river. When we trust in the Holy Spirit, that's when we're able to pick our feet up and we begin to flow in the Spirit of God, okay, and to stay in tune with Him like never before. The Holy Spirit is quite capable of revealing things to you that there is no other way that you could possibly know. Okay, He will give you a word of knowledge and give you that understanding and wisdom and things that there's no way that you should know. You didn't go to school for that. You know what I mean? It's like He's speaking to you and kind of sharing something with you that there's no way that you could know about a situation, about a person, about something that is coming your way, something that just happened in your past, something that happened 20 years ago. The Holy Spirit can reveal some things to you that you would have no other possible way of knowing. He will speak through you and speak through your life the right thing at the right time. There's a scripture that Jesus says, in that day of when they call you in front of the magistrates and they're persecuting you, He said, don't worry about it. He said, your Holy Spirit will give you the words to say at that time. So He can give you that. Somebody comes to you, they need comforting, or they need consoling, or they need some guidance in a particular area. You can trust in the Holy Spirit that He is with me, I am here, and He will begin to give me the words to speak, even though I don't know exactly what I should say. Stay in tune with Him. He is quite capable of doing those things in your life. He can make sure that then when He will give you also the ability to discern the spirits. Remember, that's one of the gifts of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit says He will give you the discernment of spirits so that you can see the spiritual things that are going on around you, so that you know when somebody comes against you and all of a sudden this big persecution or negative things, and they're trying to run you through the mill, you can see it for what it is, and it's not so offensive. Jesus was offended by the scribes and Pharisees and things, but He didn't get offended about the little stuff. You know why? Because He could see it for what it was. He saw the persecutions. He saw the unknowingness or things that they didn't know what they were talking about. And He could see into that spiritual realm and understand why these things were happening. Okay, so He can do those things, give you that spirit of discernment, and then you'll have the opportunity to yield to the best will and plan of God for your life. It will give you that at any moment, any given moment in your life. You know, it's the Holy Spirit that will speak to you the deep things of God. I think we talked about a couple weeks. He's the one that will encourage you. He will guide you. He will reveal things unto you that you need to know. And He will absolutely empower you to bring glory to God. That's what part of His role is. Okay, your part in all this is simply to believe in Him. Okay, to trust in Him. To lean on Him. Okay, to welcome Him into your life. Say, Holy Spirit, I'm welcome. You're welcome in my life. You are invited in. You are part of my life. I want you in my life. I want you to speak to me. I want you to reveal unto me. I want you to lead and to guide me and to do these things, what you do through my life. Okay, so we receive Him. We receive His operations in our life. You know, my question would be, why settle for a little bit of His awesomeness when you can have all of it? He wants to give you as much as you can handle. And He is willing to give you so much more than you already have. I know this is kind of a different message this morning. It's something that, you know, really encouraging the relationship with the Holy Spirit. And I think next week we'll go into some other things. But just want you to see that and to press into Him as part of the Trinity, as part of the package. And so often we neglect Him or we forget about Him, or we sing songs and I love it, you know, give me Jesus. And we sing a lot about Jesus. But Holy Spirit is so strong and so powerful in the work that He does and can do through our lives that it'd be a disservice, I think, to God to neglect to receive all that He has for you. So for the next few minutes, I'm going to end this on something different. I rarely do this, but we're going to end with some worship. And it's a song by Carrie Job I mentioned earlier, but it's about inviting in the presence of God into our life, inviting His Spirit into the sanctuary, into our lives, into just where we are so that we can understand Him. And then a prayer, and as you sing along, you'll see that Carrie Job and the other guys that are singing with her, they're literally like crying out to God from their hearts, saying, God, you know, let us see you. Let us know you more. Let us acknowledge you when you're moving in our life, and to really pour their heart out to Him. So we're going to sing a song. It's a worship to our Lord and a song of invitation to the presence of the Holy Spirit to literally come and abide with us and just be with us. And I'm not kidding you. I tend to say I guarantee, but I pretty much guarantee that if you sing this from your heart, you will not leave here the way that you came in. You will leave here with a sense of He is with me. I just invited Him to be with me. It's just like inviting your best friend over and now you want him to go with you somewhere. Okay, that's what He wants to do. He wants to go with you as you leave here, and you'll be able to sense and know that, the presence of God. So as we watch, notice how the folks, they worship, they're singing from their heart, they're praying unto God, and just try to brush aside everything else for a few minutes. It's a longer song, but to me it's short because I love this kind of music and worship. But it's just a place of brushing aside everything else that's around you. All the things of the world, the work's coming tomorrow, and all the stuff. And just let go of all that and just enter into worship of God and just speak to Him openly from your heart. And I believe that you will experience and receive and acknowledge the presence of the Holy Spirit in a more powerful way than maybe even what you're used to. So, like I said, don't usually end this way, but let's end with worship this morning.
Overcome.
Praise you, Lord. I don't know about you guys. That's peaceful to me. Yeah, I don't know. You know where some people are at in your walk with God, but I tell you, you know, there's a place of peace and rest. There's a joy in walking with the Lord. I just think there's so much more that we as, you know, if you let the world run your life, man, it's going to keep you away from the things of God and that real peace, that real joy, the real satisfaction that comes with a relationship with God. Yeah. I want to get emotional on you guys. I love you guys, and I want you guys to experience as much as absolutely possible because I know I want more, and I just pray and hope that you guys do as well. So, Father, we just thank you this morning, Lord. Thank you for your presence. Lord, I know you're in this house, Lord. You came in with each one of us, Lord. I pray that as we go forth from here, Lord, that we will take your anointing. Take it to the masses, Lord. Take it to the crowds, the people we work with, and take it to our families. Take it to the people in the grocery store or wherever you lead us this week, Lord. We will take you and that anointing that you have put upon our life, Lord. You're with us. You're part of the package we've received, and your Holy Spirit now working and flowing through us will minister unto the people around us, Lord. Lord, I pray we continue to see it, not just about us, but about, you know, you and other people, to be able to reach out beyond ourselves, to let go, to let you just unravel us, that we may just go forth and be able to share as we are in Christ with the people around us, Lord. Father, we yield to you, your Holy Spirit, yield to your presence, your power, yield to your love. It melts our hearts, Lord, steers us in that direction away from the things that are against you and that would be harmful to us, Lord, that you'll use that love for us and just pour it out upon us in a deeper and deeper way, Lord. Oh, we love you, we praise you, we thank you. Give you all the praise for it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.